in the glorification of Balaram.
The result is that we can get a little extra mercy from Lord Balaram. So before we begin speaking about the pastimes of Krishna, it is the medicine to cure the material disease. And what does the material disease? The material disease basically means that we are in the material world, within our material body, and we are trying our best to exploit the material energy. And the result is not happiness, not the bliss that we are longing for, but rather frustration, which is the prior step to whom all the rest of the miseries of material existence, ultimately death and then transmigration. So there is a need of mercy in this world. I doubt anyone feels a lack of that need, that we need something, we need some more help than we can muster ourselves, than we can gather to ourselves by our own power. If someone thinks that they can do everything by themselves, they're generally under 15 years old, or perhaps a teenager. So we'll have a short kirtan now, but I would like to humbly request that everyone try to chant sincerely for the pleasure of Balaram, calling out to Krishna, to Lord Balaram, to Hare Srimati Radharani, call out to Nitai Sachinandana, and try to chant sincerely and try to evoke some mercy from the Supreme Lord on this day. We could say that the doors are a little of mercy, are a little bit open, extra open on a holy day like today. So let us chant. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
Thank you all for coming and chanting quietly and watching the Abhishek of Krishna Balaram. I wanted to start speaking about Lord Balaram in somewhat an unlikely place. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam is the first time we actually become introduced to the person, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And after hearing of his activities in the first canto, we, practically speaking, we don't hear directly about him other than in his incarnations until the 10th canto. So these first canto descriptions are very important. It begins, these descriptions begin in chapter 7, and this takes place after the Battle of Kurukshetra has been finished, that great war that destroyed the Kshatriya race from this world. And then Krishna, after the battle is completed, in chapter 10 it describes, who's speaking in chapter 10? Does anyone know? Excuse me? No, but who speaks? Who is speaking the narration in chapter 10? Well, who's speaking the whole first part of the Bhagavatam? Sutta Goswami, yes. Sutta Goswami. And he describes how Krishna is leaving Hastinapur after being with the Pandavas for so many years, after protecting Arjuna, protecting Yudhisthira, protecting Bhim, Nakul, Sahadev, Kunti Devi, and causing the destruction of the Kurus who were opposed to the Pandavas. And Krishna is leaving Hastinapur, and he's so beautiful, and he's so powerful, and he's so dear to all the devotees, and yet he's leaving, and he's going to Dwarka. So it is the time for the residents of Hastinapur to cry, to be bereft of Krishna. Now, this is something that is very difficult for us to conceive of. Actually, it's impossible for us to conceive of, in the sense that we are now bereft of Krishna to a large degree and no one is crying. There is an old story how one boy was playing with his friends. They were playing hide and seek, and it was late in the afternoon, and the boys were playing, and it was one young boy's turn. So they said, "You hide, you close your eyes and count to 100, and we're going to hide, and then you hide until we find you." And after telling this young boy that, they all went home. It was late, they were hungry, and he was the youngest, so the tendency is to trick him. So they went home, and he was hiding and hiding and hiding and hiding and hiding and hiding. And he peeked up, and he saw there was no one there. And you know what he did? He started crying. And he went to his father, who was a religious person, and he explained what had happened with tears in his eyes. And his father said, "Now you know something about what God feels like." It's not exactly our philosophy, exactly. But he stays just a little from our sight, a little bit hidden from us, and no one is looking. He's right there. He's there in his holy names, and everyone is busy, too busy, too self-absorbed to be thinking about him, the purpose of life, entangled in so many other thoughts and ideas. So there is some In one sense, we can say compassionate sadness on the side of Krishna that no one is looking. But those who, like the residents of Hastinapur, have been in Krishna's association, who know the taste of the sweetnesses of his association, when they are absent from him for even a moment, their heart breaks. The cowherd boys in Vrindavan, when Krishna walks behind a tree, their heart breaks. Mother Yashoda cries like a calf bereft, or like a cow bereft of its baby calf when she cannot see Krishna for a moment. So the residents of Hastinapur were crying because it was time for Krishna to leave Hastinapur and go to Dwarka. But he left. And as the residents of Hastinapur cried, it was the time of the residents of Dwarka to rejoice, to wipe their own tears, because Krishna was returning to Dwarka. So they knew he was coming. And it would take days. So every day they thought, oh, Krishna will come today. Krishna will come today. And then one day, they were correct. And they found out that Krishna was nearby because he blew his transcendental conch shell, whose name was Panchajaya. And when they heard that sound, immediately, they heard Krishna was coming. Krishna was here outside of Dwarka. And immediately the whole city, as if possessed of one mind, because this is the qualification to be in a holy place like Dwarka. You have to have that one-mindedness. Not one-mindedness in the sense of a lack of individuality, but a fixedness of mind on Krishna. So as soon as they heard that council, they rushed outside their houses. They dropped whatever they were doing. And they went to see Krishna. They didn't come empty-handed either. Just like when the devotees come to the temple to see the deities, they don't come empty-handed. They come with a gift for the Lord. Something. So the residents of Dwarka, they filled their hands with gifts. And Krishna said sweet words to them all. He reciprocated with them individually according to who they were. And he gave everyone a glance from his eyes. He glanced at everyone from his eyes, his lotus eyes. Because by that glance, there was a personal exchange which brought so much happiness to anyone who ever exchanged with Krishna. And the whole city was decorated. It was cleansed with rose water. There were flags and festoons everywhere. And the description that caught my attention, that in front of every house there were auspicious items, and there was incense burning outside of everyone's house to greet Krishna. There were lamps and candles burning outside of every house. Have you ever been in a situation where you've walked down the street and there were lamps and candles burning? It's so invigorating. I saw this in Jagannath Puri. Yes, okay. One year, I was there during the month of Kartik, and especially in the Brahmins section of the town, everyone at sunset would take a lamp and offer it to the Lord, and during Kartik, or actually to the temple from in the distance of Lord Jagannath, and then they placed the candle down, the lamp down, the ghee lamp down, and the whole area would have so many lamps burning, and it brings such an uplifting to be in the presence of pure fire. Any of the pure elements is so uplifting to the spirit, instead of just plastic and mobile phone vibrations and waves, etc., and Wi-Fi, which, etc., mobile phone headaches, but ghee lamps and flames and pure wind all blowing. This is uplifting to the mind, to the spirit, to the soul of mankind. So the whole city was decorated and cleansed in this auspicious way. And then I wanted to, because this is leading to Balaram, don't worry. Soon, Krishna willing. Now we have to start the little machine over there. Now, it's really hard for me to read along here, isn't it? No, not from that point of view, but why don't you just start your poem, please? Yes, let's see if it works now. Whoops! Oh! Yes. Today is Balaram Purnima. And here is Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Now, we're reading from the 11th chapter of the first canto. And this is the verse that we're up to, practically speaking. But unfortunately, I can't see it. Nishamyam Prishta Mayantam Vasudevo Mahamana Akroras Chograsena Cha Ramas Chadbhuta Vikrama Pradumya Charadeshna Cha Shambhu Jambavati Sutta Paharsha Vigo Chasita Sayanasana Bhojana. So this verse is mostly composed of names of the Vrishni dynasty. These are the powerful persons, or many of the powerful persons, who are Krishna's relatives in the Jadu dynasty. And whatever they were doing, Vasudeva Maham, the great-minded Vasudeva, Krura, Ugrasena, the king of the Yadus, the king of Dwarka, and Rama, Lord Rama, who is not Lord Ramachandra, but in this case, in Dwarka, is Balaram. Balarama Chadbhuta Vikrama. Balaram, whose activities are Adbhuta. What does Adbhuta mean? We know that word very much from Adbhuta Singha. Astonishing. Oh, wonderful. And his Vikrama, his heroic activities are superhuman and are wonderful, astonishing. So Balaram, whose activities are wonderful and astonishing, and Pradumya Charadesna Shambhu, who is he? Lord Shiva, no, not in this case, in the Sanskrit. Samba, Sa-amba. He was very, very dear to his mother, Sa-amba. He was always with his mother. He was a mama's boy. So his name was Samba, and his mother was Jambavati. But he was so, the Jambavati Sutta, Praharsha, all of these great personalities, including Balaram, of wonderful activities, they stopped whatever they were doing spontaneously, praharsha, with great ecstasy, ecstatic happiness. They stopped whatever they were doing, whether they were resting, whether they were eating, whatever they were doing, they stopped. and went to meet Krishna. It was as if their legs and bodies had their own minds. They could not resist seeing Krishna. They stood up immediately. Here is the Rama Chalbutta Vikrama. What does that mean? Well, what does it mean? Yes, Balaram, who performs. So, hopefully everyone will remember this wonderful term. Balaram, who performs superhuman, heroic, astonishing, wonderful activities. Yes. This is the translation that's given in the verse. And here is the actual translation. On hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwarka Dham, magnanimous Vasudev. Does anyone remember the Sanskrit of the word? Mahamana. That he had a great mind. So great mindedness means magnanimous. And what does magnanimous mean? Generous, especially generous, giving. This is the sign of great mindedness. Most of us are, well, I can speak for myself, miserly mindedness. Don't think I have enough of anything. But Vasudev, great minded, was full of love for Krishna, and therefore magnanimous Vasudev. Akura, Ugrasena, Balaram, the superhumanly powerful Pradumna, Charudeshna, and Sambha, the son of Jambavati, they were all extremely happy. They abandoned resting. They abandoned their sitting. They abandoned their eating, their dining, and immediately went to Krishna. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, he describes each of these different great personages, Vasudeva, Pradumna, Ugrasena, and Balaram. So I'd like to read from what Prabhupada says about Balaram. Baladev. He is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife, Rohini. Now, this is quite mysterious. Even when before the advent of Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami to explain about Lord Balaram. How is it that he is known as the son of Vasudeva by Rohini? He is known as what is Balaram's name in relationship to Rohini? Rohini Nanda. And he's also known as the son of Devaki. Now, that is very confusing if one thinks about it. One child, two mothers. Of course, these things may happen in Kali Yuga in different ways, but this is not Kali Yuga. This is Balaram. He is the divine son. So Prabhupada will explain both sides of this here. He is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife Rohini. He is also known as Rohini Nanda, the beloved son of Rohini. He was entrusted to Nanda Maharaj along with his mother Rohini when Vasudeva embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. So, at the time of Devaki's marriage to Vasudev, Kams heard an Akashvani, a voice from the sky, that announced that you are so foolish, O Kamsa. And we will hear about this undoubtedly quite soon when we on Janmashtami, the birth of Lord Krishna that day. So immediately, you are so foolish, this child, the eighth child in the womb of coming from Devaki, she is going to be the cause of your death. And you are driving the chariot now so foolishly. And immediately Kamsa, forgetting any honor and integrity, completely selfishly was going to kill Devaki. Because this is the nature of a demon. He's only concerned about himself. The opposite of this demonic mentality, which is completely self-absorbed, is someone like Vasudeva, who is magnanimous, who is generous-hearted, concerned about the welfare of others. This is called Deva Sampada, as opposed to Asura Sampada, the qualities of someone who is divine by nature. And actually, Prabhupada, I've been hearing Prabhupada explaining on lectures in the Bhagavad Gita on the 16th chapter that it is required that someone, if he wants to obtain Krishna, actually go to Goloka Vrindavan, he has to develop the sampat, the qualities, the treasure of divine qualities. And demonic tendencies, the asura sampat that everyone in Kali Yuga tends to have, the self-absorption, the selfishness, they can be transformed. And if one wants to transform them, one has to live a lifestyle in goodness and sattva guna. I've been listening to these lectures. So Kamsa was not in sattva guna at all. He was a asura. He was a rakshasa. He was a killer of anyone who opposed him. Immediately kill him. So to placate, to satisfy Kamsa, to stop him from killing Devaki, intelligent Vasudeva said, "We will hand to you all our children and you can do what they want, but spare Devaki." So when that had happened, after a very short time after this, Vasudeva himself went into prison with Devaki, and Rohini, he sent one of his other wives, Rohini, to Vrindavan. This is actually described in the first verse of the Bhagavatam, one of the meanings that Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī gives us. Janma yasya yataha anviyartharas chitesyo vigya sarād. When Krishna, soon as he takes his birth, because he is of vidya, he knows everything, and because he is swaraj, because he's independent, he immediately desires to go to Vrindavan, because he knows the greatest of all devotees, the Vrishvasis, are there waiting to serve him. So he transfers himself, he inspires Vasudeva to carry him immediately to Vrindavan, where he can grow up. And one of the main persons that he interacts with when he's growing up in Vrindavan is Balaram. Balaram is equally as powerful as Krishna. One is of dark complexion and one is of light complexion. Krishna is the one of dark complexion and Balaram is whitest complexion. What color cloth does Balaram wear? Bluish. And what color cloth does? Yes. And do you know what color his sash is? Pink, purple. What was the third one? White? Polka dots? No. It is reddish color. To express to some very special personalities that he's attracted to them. So, Nanda Maharaj, going back to Prabhupada's words here. So Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baladev, along with Lord Krishna. Both of them grew up like brothers. And they performed their pastimes together, their cowherd boy pastimes together. Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev were constant companions from their very childhood, although they were stepbrothers. They were brothers, practically speaking. And they were so, both of them were so powerful. We'll hear some of Balaram's powers in a moment. He, Balaram, is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. Now what does, in Prabhupada's books, he uses this word plenary expansion. What does plenary mean?
Full,
yes.
Complete.
Yes. Who said complete? Yes.
Direct.
Yes, it's complete. Complete, full. So Balaram is a full expansion of Krishna. That means, like if you take one candle and you have that candle burning and you take it take a second candle and you light that second candle from the first candle, the first candle is still the original candle, the Adi candle, the Adi Purusha, Golden Dham, Adi Purusham. But the second candle has the same potency as the first candle. So Balaram has the same potency as Krishna. Once, when Balaram and Krishna, and I think it was Subal, they approached Sridham, Vasudham, and Dham, and they asked for a favor, and they asked for the favor of dancing. So Krishna began to dance in the forest of Vrindavan in such a delicate and wonderful way while the boys played musical instruments. And then Balaram began to dance as well. And the two had such great dancing expertise that you couldn't tell the difference between one and the other, except that one was of darkest complexion and the other was of lightest. Everyone was clapping. The boys in the forest were playing flutes made out of leaves, and they were playing trees in the form of drums, and Krishna and Balaram were dancing. These are the forest pastimes, the cowherd boy and gocharan pastimes of Krishna and Balaram that are so pleasing to the heart. And after Balaram and Krishna had danced, they were playing some other games, and then one demon came who was sent by Kamsa. And this demon, his name was Pralambasura. This happened in Bandiravan forest. Raise your hand if you've been to Bandiravan. What? Raise your hand. I'm going to do the embarrassing opposite of that. Raise your hand if you've never been to Bandiravan. Oh, what to do about this? Raise your hand if you'd like to go to a place that is close to the Amuna and is very, very sweet and has, there's a tree called Bandiravat there, and there's pastimes of cowherd pastimes there, there's pastimes of Krishna and the Gopi pastimes there, and it is very sweet and it is very different feeling when you go there. It is a very different feeling than downtown Perth or downtown Bombay, even. It has a sweetness in the atmosphere. Raise your hand, of all you who have been to Bandiravan and have not been to Bandiravan, which includes, I would think, everyone, raise your hand if you would like to go to Bandiravan.
Well, I would too.
It's so nice. So in this Bandiravan forest, while the cowherd boys were playing, Kamsa sent one demon whose name was Pranambasura. And there was a great message from this pastime. The cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram would become so absorbed in their playing and tasting the sweetness of the exchange, the loving exchanges in Sakyaras, that Krishna and Balaram would forget their unlimited power. So, as a result of this game of the cowherd boys playing, Balaram was carried by this Talambasura who had assumed the form of a cowherd boy. And on the back of Talambasura, Balaram was being carried because Balaram's team had won, and Talambasura was in the disguise of a cowherd boy. And suddenly, he started taking Balaram far away. He took him as far as he could from Krishna, because he understood that Krishna was so powerful. Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. And as he was carrying Balaram away, this Pranamasura's form changed, because Balaram is heavy. His form changed, and he could not maintain his disguise as a cowherd boy. And his form actually, he assumed the form that he actually was. And the way that he was terrible, dark in complexion, and his eyes were blazing like fire, and the Bhagavatam describes that his teeth reached his eyebrows. Now just imagine what that is like. And suddenly, and he was huge and powerful. And suddenly, Balaram, who was playing as a coward boy and absorbed in the pastimes of a coward boy, the loving exchanges with Krishna and the other lovers of Krishna, the coward boys, suddenly he found himself being carried away by this huge asura with fangs going upward, reaching his eyebrows. And Balaram became frightened. Balaram, who performs superhuman activities, Adbhuta Vikrama, Balaram Adbhuta Vikrama, he became frightened. He who was all-knowing became frightened, thinking, my carrier has changed. What is going on? How is this possible? This is the power of Krishna's pastimes. They are so absorbing for the Lord, he becomes mugdata. His consciousness compresses. Of course, we cannot understand what the consciousness of Krishna or Balaram is like, but it is like he's so absorbed in the loving exchange that he forgets his sarvajna nature. He forgets his nature that he knows everything due to this absorption in Ratha. And then Krishna, as Balaram was being carried away, with the movement of his eyebrows, because Krishna does things in subtle ways, with the movement of his eyebrows, he indicated to Balaram, now is not the time to forget your divine power and nature. And then Balaram immediately saw what he was doing, what was happening. And then he took his fist, and with one blow from his fist, Balarama Adbhuta Vikrama, he smashed this Pralambasura, who was huge, who was powerful, who was one of Kamsa's closest allies, and immediately Balarama killed him, and he fell down to the ground, dead. And while this was going on, while the boys, they were playing, And suddenly, Balaam was carried away by this demon. And all the boys were seeing this, and they picked up sticks to protect unlimitedly powerful. This is Russia. And they began chasing this demon who was running away far past the Mandira fight where he was supposed to stop in the game when he was in the game as a cowboy boy. And then they saw that suddenly the demon fell down and they saw that Balaram stood up and he started walking back to the boys, and the boys and Krishna were running to Balaram and Balaram was running to the boys. And when Krishna and Balaram met each other, they just embraced, and all the boys hugged Balaram. "Well done, Balaram. You've killed another demon." So this brought such ecstasy to the hearts of all the coward boys, who immediately composed songs, poetic songs, of the activities of Balaram, of the activities of Krishna. And when they would come home from the forest every day, they would sing these songs. Krishna would play his flute. The coward boys would be singing the songs and dancing. Balaram would be a little behind so Krishna could have loving exchanges with the young ladies of Vrindavan. And they would come into the town, and everyone, the town of Vrindavan, of Nandagam, would say, "Krishna is coming home, Krishna is coming home." And it would be like they had regained their life. And that is what spiritual life is actually supposed to be. It is a regaining of our actual life. It is coming to life again. Because it is based on re-meeting our beloved Krishna. So, Balaram, he is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva, the principle of Godhead. He is not Jiva Tattva. Those in the Madhva Sampradaya, they can, Madhvacharya, they consider Lord Balaram Jiva Tattva. But in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, according to Shastra, we consider him Vishnu Tattva. So more of Balaram's inconceivable activities. He attended the Swayambhara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. Who did Draupadi choose as her husband in the Swayambhara? Arjun, who was empowered by Krishna, his bowmanship. And everyone, there were so many Kshatriyas there, and Draupadi was so beautiful. She had kept, they were all friends. And as soon as they all saw Draupadi, they became competitors. And they began to criticize each other and began to show off their strength and everything. And the only ones who were not affected by the beauty of Draupadi was Krishna and Balaram. And this has very much connected with the Swayambhara of Draupadi, very much connected to the Kurukshetra war, because Arjuna, in disguise, the Brahmanas, as Brahmanas, they Arjuna took one Draupadi, but Karna was very much insulted, because when Karna stepped up to perform the activity, he was the only one who could have done it aside from Arjuna, and Draupadi said, "No, we can't. He's not actually a Chatri, he's a Sutta." And she insulted him in this way. Karna was very upset. Of course he wasn't, so anyway, that's great, etc. So, more activities of Balaram. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna, by the organized plan of Krishna, this is described in the, I think it's the 86th chapter of the 10th canto. Arjuna had disguised himself as a holy man for the purpose of kidnapping Krishna's youngest sister, Subhadra. Now, this one would have to say was not proper. And Balaram treated him with all the respect of a holy man, and he brought him into his house during the Chaturmasya season. And then he brought Arjuna, invited him to his table, and he said, "Oh Subhadra, you should serve. You should serve this sannyasi," who was Arjuna making eyes at Subhadra the whole time. Subhadra exchanging glances with the sannyasi Arjuna, and then Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. And how do you think Balaram felt about that? How do you think he felt?
Very bad.
He felt very bad. Why did he feel bad? He's been tricked. He's been cheated. He's been exploited. Well, how do you feel when you feel tricked and cheated and exploited? It hurts. Do you get angry? Yes. And guess what Balaram did? Now, Balaram, he became angry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the modes of material nature, because anger is born of the mode of ignorance, and Balaram is completely beyond the modes of material nature, yet he became angry. And he wanted to destroy Arjuna. This is the Lord's pastime, folks. And what did Krishna do? He wanted to destroy Arjuna, kill him at once. But Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, he fell at the feet of Lord Baladev and implored him. He begged him not to be so angry. And Krishna pointed to the chariot where Arjuna was driving away Subhadra, and he pointed out who was actually driving the chariot. It was Subhadra. So he said, "Look, Balaram, Subhadra has chosen him. She wants to be with him." This is the Kshatriya way of dealing. After Krishna had grasped her feet, hit Balaram's feet, and pointed this out, Balaram's anger, which is like a tsunami, can destroy the universe, practically speaking, naturally speaking. He became pacified. So what can we see in this? And this happens again, too. We won't be able to read the whole purport at the end. In just a minute or two. But later on, Prabhupada describes in the purport another astonishing event that occurred at the end of the Kurukshetra war, when Bhima and Duryodhana are fighting with clubs, and it's a horrible fight. They're hitting each other, they're covered with blood, and Duryodhana, He's more expert at club fighting than Bhim, because Balaram has taught him himself. But Bhim is more powerful, and Bhima cannot defeat him. And Krishna points to the one weak spot that Duryodhana has. Every other part of his body is impenetrable and invulnerable, practically speaking. Krishna indicates to Bhim, hit him in his thigh. And that very thigh that he had exposed to Draupadi, said, "You sit here and insulted Draupadi in this way," which is the other great cause of the Kurukshetra war. "You sit here." Bhima had said, "I will break that thigh." And Krishna had tricked Duryodhana. This is the Mahabharata, is so amazing. Because Gandhari, Duryodhana's mother, her glance due to her chastity was so powerful. She wanted to make every part of his body invulnerable. So she told Duryodhana, come before me completely naked and I will take away my blindfold and glance at you and your body will become as strong as steel in every part. And as Duryodhana was walking to see Gandhari, to be present in front of Gandhari, he saw Krishna waiting there. And Krishna said, you are going to go in front of your mother unclothed? At least you should wear a gamsa. And Duryodhana said, yes. Krishna had protecting his devotees again and again. Atma pajanta vadanyata. Even from Balaram, become a devotee of Krishna. Place oneself under Krishna's protection. Have Krishna protect his devotee. And you, me, be one of those surrendered devotees. And what can happen to us adversely in our existence? What to speak of our life? Otherwise, we are depending upon our own protection, the protection of our friends, our relatives, our power, our money, our beauty, our strength, our influence, all so limited when it comes down to it. But if we are under Krishna's protection, what is there to fear? Mame kam saranam raja. Don't worry. So that very sigh that Krishna had tricked Duryodhana into making his weak point, Krishna pointed to that and said, Bhima, not said, but indirectly indicated, you hit him there. And that below the belt is not the what Kshatriyas are allowed to do in a fight. But Bhima did it on Krishna's order, and Duryodhana's thighs were broken, and Balaram was furious that he had acted, Bhima had acted in a non-Kshatriya way, in an irreligious, unrighteous way. And he was furious, and Krishna again protected his devotee Bhima, as he had protected Arjuna. Even if Krishna himself, in the form of Balaram, his expansion, is angry at you, if one has the favor of Krishna, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, what will be the difficulty? And Krishna tells Uddhav in the 14th chapter. I unfortunately can't remember the Sanskrit of the verse, but I'll read it. It's so important. No, I won't read it. But he says, Krishna tells Uddhava, neither Atmayoni nor Brahma nor Shankara nor Shankarshan Balaram, nor Sri, the goddess of fortune, nor even Atma, my own self, Krishna says. Neither Balaram, nor the goddess of fortune, nor Shiva, or Lord Brahma are as dear to me as you, Priyatama. As dear to me as you, my devotee. So, Balaram's inscrutable, ununderstandable Leela is very tricky, but it shows, it illustrates many things, and one of the things that it illustrates is how dear Krishna is, how dear the devotees are to Krishna. So I'll just read one verse that Raghunath Das Goswami. Oh, where is it? I've got the wrong page. I won't be able to read that. He glorifies Lord Balaram in such a sweet way, in Vrindavan, that everyone is.
Oh, here it is.
This is from Raghunath Das Goswami's Tavavali. He says, "The splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendental form. The splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendental form eclipses many millions of glistening, rising moons. And the slightest scent of his boundless strength that has no limit is sufficient to destroy many armies of demons. Although he knows the supernatural power of his younger brother, Krishna, out of love for him, he will never leave him alone in the forest for even one moment. I offer my prayers to Lord Balaram, the enemy of Dinukasura." So these are the words of Raghunath Das Goswami and Brajavalasa staff glorifying Balaram. See Balaram Ki.